Our scripture reading this morning will be from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found the colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'Why are you doing? What are you doing untying this colt?' They told him what Jesus had said, and they followed them and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord Jesus, excite us about this day. Touch us to the very depths of our being with the stories this week holds in our lives. And on Easter, let us be ready to celebrate your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you imagine who was in that parade that day? Imagine blind Bartimaeus seeing everything. Do you think his praise was false? Not a chance. The woman at the well, or the one caught in adultery, were they in that parade? Were they on the side of the road praising, waving palms, or waving this palm? They would be if they were there. How about Lazarus? Was he there, raised from the dead? Just because Jesus says, "Lazarus, where are you? Get out of there. Come on, we got stuff to do." And he walks out. You know, I try to witness people, but it's hard to beat someone whose story begins, "I was dead, but then I was brought back to life." Although if we think about that, isn't that every one of us' story to tell? We were dead in sin, but now we are alive to Christ. How many once lame people were there running beside Jesus as he kept riding on the colt? They were jumping up and down. They were praising. These men, these women whose legs once did not work. Can you imagine who was in the crowd that day? Now, a young man walked up the sidewalk toward his home late one Friday afternoon, and he was greeted by his two children. They laughed and they were bouncing even more than usual. That day, they didn't open their mouths, and he knew something was going on. They were filled with more than the usual amount of excitement. "Daddy, Daddy," the three-year-old said, "there's a whoomph." The five-year-old pressed his palm over the three-year-old's mouth. The three-year-old wrenched free, eyes still sparkling. "Daddy, Mommy, and Jason and me have got a whoomph." The hand covered her mouth again, followed by the firm order from her older brother. "Sarah, if you don't keep quiet, Daddy's going to know there's a surprise party inside for him." After a moment of awkward silence, the five-year-old flushed. Dad artfully pretended not to have heard a word. He hugged both children, and laughing together, all three raced into the house. That's the same excitement we should have this day. Those two children could barely contain themselves. They were so excited. They knew something exciting was going to happen, and they knew it was going to be good. When COVID first started, Ash Wednesday came beginning this season of Lent, the first one during COVID. Lent, or as I like to call it, the Eeyore season of life. Are you familiar with Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore? All gloom and doom. Nothing's going to happen that goes well or goes right. If he's involved, he just knows it's not going to end well. Well, Lent so often is the Eeyore season of life for us Christians. We focus on our sins and we wallow in our miserable faith. Think of the words that we normally hear during Lent. Sin, suffering, guilt, shame, sacrifice, death, punishment, ugh. COVID had been beating us up for months, and now we were supposed to beat up ourselves spiritually, and all in the name of growing our faith. I started wondering way back then, could we have a different kind of Lent? Was it possible for us to bring different words into our Lenten vocabulary? Words like joy, love, relationship, peace, grace, forgiveness, hope. Have any of you ever had a difficult experience, and you came home only to have someone you love wrap their arms around you, not say a word, just stand there holding you, whispering, "Everything will be all right. Everything's going to be okay." What could happen if every day of Lent, not just Easter, became a time for God to throw holy, loving arms around us, telling us we are loved, that we are cared for, and everything will be all right? I've been choosing a different verse each week and letting it guide the living of my life for that week. I didn't give up chocolate. I didn't give up ice cream. I didn't vow to pray for 2 more hours every day. I simply chose a verse and made the decision to live that verse. It takes the Holy Spirit to tell you how to live some verses. But that's what I've been doing during Lent. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How can we walk in the joy of the Lord no matter what is happening and help others do the same? Brenda's been at Charlie's bedside through everything he was going through for a very long time, hours after hours. Now he's doing great. She doesn't have to be there every minute of the day. But back then, how do I help her see the joy of the Lord to experience that on the other side of the surgery from where we are now? Not so easy. Encourage one another. Now, I thought this verse would be easy, to tell you the truth. What I wasn't prepared for, where were the powerful reactions I received from several people? I had blood work drawn this week. There I was, sitting in a room full of strangers, and I thought, well, there's no time like the present. And it's easier in front of strangers because if I make a fool of myself, which I've been known to do once or twice, I just leave knowing I'll never see him again. So I complimented a lady on the rainbow-colored pants she was wearing. I said, I'm sorry, my wife has me trained to notice such things. And I wanted you to know she would love the pants you are wearing. She would call them happy pants. Just kindly chit-chat. A courtesy thing to say, really. In my mind, anyhow. But she reached out, and she grabbed my hand, and she held it. For a long time, she held it. I'm holding her hand saying, oh, she keeps pulling me back. She's holding it so tightly. She didn't say a word, not one word. She just held my hand and laughed. I had made her day, and both of us were blessed by it. So were the other people in the room, because I saw the looks on their faces. All because I said, I like your pants. Some of y'all think evangelism is so hard. Just walk around saying, I like your pants. Go and make disciples. How do I let that verse live through me? Well, y'all know some of my usual ways. I've shared them with you. Looking for cross jewelry to start a conversation. Reading what's on the shirts people are wearing or on their caps. Looking for a connection I can make to start a conversation. Looking at someone's tattoos can be like reading a map of someone's life. I noticed one person who had the name Jennifer on her inner arm, with 2 dates tattooed underneath. I knew what that meant. And I also knew from a friend of mine whose son was resurrected before she was, and she's still here, so she hasn't been resurrected yet. I said, how are you doing? I was her pastor. And she said, I'm leaning on the Lord more and more each day. But I sure wish people would say John's name. People seem to think that if I hear John's name, I'm not going to be able to make it, or I'm going to remember what happened. And she said, I can't forget what happened, so please say his name. I need to hear it. Jennifer, as it turned out, was her sister who died after battling a long illness. I told her that Jennifer is in a much better place now, and she said, oh, I know she is. I am sure of it. There was no evangelism that day, but there definitely was a whole lot of faith shared between us. And now on Palm Sunday, wondering who might have been in that parade, that crowd of people, I realize again that I was there cheering and praising God, running beside Jesus, sitting on a colt. Knowing something big is about to happen. Something so exciting. But little did I know, or anyone else in that crowd know, that it would include the death of God, an empty tomb, and the salvation of the world. All because of the best parade.